We come now to the time of the reading of God's Word, and I invite you to stand out of respect for it. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We'll be reading Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Luke chapter 12, 22 through 34. We have Jesus here speaking to his disciples. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Dear Father, comfort our fearful hearts. Be near to us. And may the words that I now speak be your words. May they be words that draw attention to your scriptures and unfold its message. May this message be your word of comfort, your word of warning, and your word of conviction to your people. And do all this as you draw us near to the cross. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. You wake up a few minutes later than usual, and right away, that anxious feeling starts to sink in. What if I'm late to church? What if I don't have time to eat breakfast? And then that worry starts to grow. You turn on the morning news to try to relax. But that only makes things worse. The latest political news just starts to stress you out and you feel that knot in your stomach. Oh, what is going to come next? The reports of crime in your city make you worry about maybe the safety of where you live. And, you know, soon you start to worry, in fact, that you are worrying too much. Can you relate to that story? Maybe you have worries of your own. Maybe it's worries that you'll come to church, you'll talk to someone new, and you'll just be completely awkward. Or maybe it's worries of a different form. But I think all of us can relate to that story about worry. Because worry is a seasickness of the soul. Worry is like a mist that comes in from your sin and your suffering, and it is a cloud that just hangs over life. You know what I mean? And worry spins your minds into confusion. It puts stress, in fact, on your bodies. Worry can do that. Your muscles tense up. You can't sleep. Stomach ulcers start to form. Worry is powerful. And in fact, you're probably hearing this. You're saying, yeah, I know what you mean. That mist has come in. even this morning, even this past week. So how do I deal with it? In our passage this morning, Jesus focuses on this problem that we call worry. He comes to us a perfect counselor. Notice how Jesus, time and time again, knows your heart so much better than you know it. He knows every posture and movement of your heart, of your inner life, before it even starts to happen. And Jesus can put his finger right on what is bothering you, right on what is coming in between you and him. And he speaks the most tender words to help you. Jesus is a comforter. And that's what we see this morning with this issue of worry. Why here? Why does Jesus talk about worry here? Well, I want you to just look. I know you haven't been going through a series in Luke. At least I don't think you have. And I want you just to see the context. If you look at the verses before, the verses that we are focusing on this morning, you'll see that Jesus just gave some weighty words to his disciples. He said, be rich towards God. Turn away from greedy gain and generously give of your time, your talents, and your treasures. Jesus said that to his disciples, but he's also saying it to us, as we are his disciples as well. And so those weighty words come in. And you say, Jesus, you want me to just give my stuff freely and not worry about what's going to happen? What's the first thing that happens when Jesus tells you to give up your possessions to those who are in need? You start to worry. How will I make it if I give this thing up that I might need someday? What if something unexpected suddenly happens tomorrow and I need all the things, Lord, that I'm holding close? I need every penny in my bank account. You're telling me to hold that loosely? What happens if I need it tomorrow? And so worry is one of the first things that pops up. And so Jesus tackles this problem of worry full on. He calls you. This is the main point I want to echo through this passage and into this worship space this morning. Jesus calls you to turn away from the worry that plagues your soul and to turn to your Father with trust in his capable provisions. He calls you to turn away from that worry, that seasickness of the soul, and to turn to your stable and loving Heavenly Father with trust in his provisions. If you're the type that likes to follow a sermon outline, I'll give it to you right now. It's three simple points. Jesus says, stop worrying. And Jesus says, trust the Father. And then Jesus says, seek the kingdom. Let's look at each of those because they are clear in our passage. Jesus says, stop worrying. Verse 22, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. You say, Jesus, I know I shouldn't worry. Thanks for telling me that. But sometimes I don't know how. But you know, sometimes the scriptures go above and beyond to talk about sins, even sins that we know are a problem, even forms of suffering that we know are an issue. And they do this because they really want us to stop putting off dealing with our sin. The scriptures say right here, right now, you need to see the seriousness of what worry is doing in your life so that you can start to deal with it. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He says, stop worrying. And he gives you three reasons just to put that urgency before your soul as to why this is not something that you can just live with over and over and over again without dealing with it. First, Jesus says that worry limits your life. Stop worrying. Why? Because verse 23, life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. What happens when we worry about what we're going to eat? You know, you worry. Well, or maybe you're worried about something. I mean, I know this is kind of silly, but you know, where am I going to eat? You ever have that conversation with your spouse maybe? I just can't decide. What if we never figure out whether to go to Applebee's or, you know, Taco Bell tonight? So, you know, the worry sets in as you're thinking, what am I going to eat? And maybe it's more serious than that, of course. Maybe it's, Lord, will I have something to eat tonight? Will I have something to eat tomorrow? What happens when we worry like that? We become like our pets, with one goal before us, to be fed. You know, feed me. Put the food before me. What happens when we're anxious about what we're going to wear and we just stress over it, but in front of our closet, looking over our options in the morning? We become like mere mannequins to be dressed up. You see, there is so much more to life than what you eat or what you drink. We are image bearers of God, human beings clothed with dignity and honor, meant to enjoy life to its fullest, through glorifying God, enjoying Him forever. But worry comes in and it makes life cold and mechanical, dehumanizes us, focuses us on those matters of mere subsistence. And Jesus says, stop that, stop worrying. And again, he says, stop worrying. Why? Because worry steals your time. It limits your life, and then it steals your time. Your worry is a thief, and it is an excellent thief. It is a robber par excellence. So you think of this. Look at what Jesus says in verse 25. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? It's a great question. Have you ever tried to add to your life with worry? Have you ever tried to deepen a relationship by worrying about it? It doesn't work, because worry has one goal, and it is to rob you of precious time, to rob you of precious opportunities that you can spend with fellow image bearers. And so this is what happens. You know, maybe kids, you're familiar with this, kids and teenagers and college students, you go to your classes and you're told you have a test in 3 weeks, and right away, the worry starts to set in as you look over what you have to study. What if I don't know the answers? What if I don't pass? What's that going to mean for the rest of my life? What are my parents going to say when I fail? And so already, you see what's happening. Worrying, worrying, worrying. And precious minutes and hours are taken away. Until finally you actually sit down for that test and the thought crosses your mind, I wish I would have spent the time studying, getting ready for this, that I spent obsessing over it with worry. So you see what worry is like. It is a thief that steals and takes. Anxiety doesn't add to our time. In fact, it does the opposite. Worry takes our time. It is like a thief that sucks away precious minutes and hours and days from your life. And finally, Jesus says, worry forgets God's provisions. Stop worrying. Why? Because verse 24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Are any of you into bird watching? Now, I'll admit, I am an avid bird watcher. I love watching birds that come to the bird feeder. You know, chickadees and cardinals and little wrens that show up. And it's kind of a nerdy thing. My wife makes fun of me for it. But I love watching birds. But you know what I don't love watching? Ravens. Because ravens are loud and pesky. They come and they chase off the other birds. They send them flying away. And then they eat all the food. It's a lot like how they were seen in Jesus' day, actually. Ravens were considered unclean according to the Levitical code in the Old Testament. They were unclean scavengers. They'd come and eat whatever they could. Pesky, unclean birds. And yet, don't miss the point that God provides even for them. When the ravens go out in the morning, they don't have to worry about what they'll find. They're sent out. And God provides for them. They find it. They find the food that the Lord has scattered across the earth for them. And then Jesus says, okay, if you're not convinced, then come on over to the flowers. Look at the meadow as we saw this spring. It starts to teem with wild flowers, Easter lilies, Jack in the Pulpit, purple phlox. They are beautiful flowers. And you look at them and you say the same thing that Jesus said. They are clothed like a king. Look at all the work that God has put into clothing these little beautiful flowers. They are dressed like royalty. And yet, within a few weeks, maybe even a few hours, those same flowers fade away and are thrown into our fires as they wither away. What is the point that Jesus is saying? If God feeds the scavengers and if he clothes fading flowers, how much more will he give you exactly what you need? How much more will he meet your needs, give you your daily bread as you ask for it in the Lord's Prayer? Give me this day my daily bread. Do you see the foolishness of anxiety? It limits your life. It robs you of your time. And it forgets God's provisions. So stop worrying. Cut it out. But how? How do I do that, Jesus? Jesus tells us how. Look at how gently and tenderly he speaks to your worried heart. He says, "Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock." And he calls you. This is my second point. He says, trust your Father. Do you want to stop worrying? Then trust your Heavenly Father. Place your fragile, your tumultuous heart in his capable hands. Here's the thing about worriers. And I can say this because I am one. I struggle with this. You're probably picking up on that already. Worriers are professional doubters. Worry thrives on suspicion and uncertainty. Doubt is like those waves that come in and shake our lives and spin us into that confusion and seasickness of the soul. Doubt is what does that. You're anxious about many things. Let's actually look at some of those anxieties and say, what is the doubt that's behind them? You're anxious about the decisions, perhaps, that our governing authorities are making for our country. You shake your head when you see the news. You say, this is not right. And as you hear that, not only are you saying that's not right, but that knot starts to form in your stomach and you start to have great worry and fear about what tomorrow will bring. What is behind that? What is the doubt that's underlying it? It is the doubt that God really is sovereign over nations and rulers, that he really does hold the nations in his hands. Well, maybe you're stressed about the swings of the stock market and what that means for your retirement as you see, the stocks go up and down like a roller coaster ride. One minute you're excited, it's going up, and then the next minute your whole life feels like it's caving in. What's the doubt that behind that? That's behind that. It is the doubt that God really is able to provide for your daily needs, even if everything that you had planned for comes caving in. How about this? You're worried about the safety of your children. Maybe your child is visiting at a stay the night party at their friends. Maybe they're off, on the trails with their team. And you are just sweating with anxiety, wondering if your child is going to be okay, if you're going to see them, or if some great danger is going to approach them. What is the doubt that's really there? It is the doubt that God truly cares and protects your little ones. And so it's no surprise that Jesus looks at his worrying disciples and he says, Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you professional doubters, professional worriers. But he doesn't stop there because he gives you a solution. He calls you to trust. He calls you to simply believe with confidence that God will come through for you. Verse 30, your Father knows what you need. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your Father knows what you need? Do you believe that God knows better than you do what you need at every single moment of your life? This is good news for doubting worriers. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done to bring you into the very presence of a loving Father, adopted into a family where now you can be told that you have a Father who cares. Because of that, you can trust with your very life. You can trust Him with your very life without a shadow of a doubt. It's like what happens on a dark and stormy night. Kids, when you hear the clash of thunder rumble through your house and shake the whole house, and where do you go when you are scared out of your mind? Where do you go to feel safe? If you run straight to your parents' room and jump straight into your dad's arms or your mom's arms, and they hold you close and they say, "It's okay, you're safe. Don't worry, I've got you." Friends, that's what we do in the Christian life. That is a picture of what happens when the waves of doubt surge. You run to the safest place imaginable, to the arms of your Heavenly Father, who is yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus wants us to confront worry with that childlike trust in our Father. So here's a bit of homework for you this week as you start to identify doubt and deal with it. The very moment that worry starts to work its way into your heart, that moment when you are at that crossroads and you see the worry and you need to deal with it, then first identify the doubt. What is the lie that you're telling yourself? What's the lie that you are spinning about God and His provisions? And then second, recall God's promises. What are the specific ways that God's word comes and dispels those doubts with power? Perhaps it's the promise that your Heavenly Father is in control. Perhaps it's the promise that He is really yours because of all that Jesus has done. Perhaps it's the promise that death cannot separate from you, Him from you, that COVID-19 cannot separate Him from you. But that because of what Christ Jesus has done on the cross, you are His forever, and He cares for you deeply forever. And so, friends, turn from that doubt and place, finally, your anxious heart in God's hands. That's what we hear in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. We hear this paradigm of how to deal with doubt, how to deal with worry. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hands of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Philippians 4:6 says this, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything." So Jesus says, stop worrying. He says, trust the Father. And finally, He says, seek the kingdom. Do you want to stop worrying? Then look to verse 31, where Jesus offers you the greatest alternative to worry. Instead of worrying, instead of experiencing that seasickness of the soul, seek God's kingdom. And then all these things, all your needs will be added to you. Friends, again, this is good news for worriers because Jesus puts His finger right on one of our deepest problems. It's that worriers are control freaks. They are control addicts. Worriers love to control the things of life. We love building our own kingdoms. But whose kingdom do we build? Kingdoms of our own making. We go to crazy extents to control our future and guarantee that our worst fears never come true. We accumulate stuff, stockpiling food during a pandemic, hoarding our money out of fear that we'll fall short in retirement. We keep ourselves at a distance from messy people, people who could disturb that perfect peace we have over, or we feel we have over our own lives. We hold on to that kingdom of our own making under our control. We push away anything that could even threaten it. But notice what Jesus is doing as he comes to worriers and he knows our problems. He's telling us to let go of our kingdom and to devote our lives to a kingdom that is not our own. Now that's hard. He's telling us to direct our time and energy towards God's rule and reign. That's what the kingdom is. It is God's rule and reign, extending over the hearts and lives of sinners and reaching into this world. Now, how do we do that? How do we turn from a kingdom of our own making to a kingdom of God's control? Verse 33. We have an illustration here. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's what seeking the kingdom looks like. Looks like loosening your grips, our grips, on our wallets, on our bank accounts, on our wardrobes, on our calendars, all those things we love to control. And it looks like investing our time, our talents, and our treasures in the eternal realities of God's rule and reign. These are hard realities. Stop worrying. Trust your Father. Seek the kingdom. These are the words that come to us from our Savior in this text. Now, why can Jesus call you so boldly to stop worrying? Why can this teacher, this rabbi, tell his disciples and tell you what the way is out of worry? He is only the perfect Savior. See, your Savior, Jesus Christ, dealt with the ultimate source of your fear, the ultimate place where your worry resides, the very wrath of God. You see, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ this morning, if you have not believed in Him, then you have much to worry about, in fact. You have much to riddle your soul with fear, and I hope that fear does nag you until you trust in Him. Because the greatest source of your worry, the greatest source of your fear, is that for eternity you would be apart from God. That for eternity you would be under His wrath and curse. But friends, the good news that is behind this passage, and really is the very thrust of the book of Luke, from which this passage comes, is this. That Jesus Christ, your Savior, did what it takes for you to stop worrying. He took upon Himself, sinless Savior that He was, the wrath of God that your sin deserved. He experienced the most worrisome, fearful experience that you could ever dream of. And He did that so that you would not have to, so that your suffering would only be unto the peace and glory and eternal love of God. He brought you, friends, into a trusting relationship with the Father so that you could stop worrying and then trust your Heavenly Father. Put your fragile heart in His hands. He brought you into peace with God. And now He gives you, without money, without price, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that will not fade. That's what your Savior does this morning, if you are trusting in Him, if you believe in Him. And now He comes to you with those comforting words in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Savior, how often we have desired to stop worrying. And yet, how often it is that we kick that concern down the road and pretend like this is just something that cannot be dealt with. Lord, we know that we will struggle with this until the very last day, until we enter into your kingdom. But we thank you that this can be dealt with every step of the way, every step that we are tempted to struggle and to fall into that seasickness of the soul. And so we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to stop worrying and that we would trust you. Help us to trust you with our very lives because you are good and because you have shown that you are trustworthy, not only in creation, but also in redemption through what you've done in Jesus Christ. We pray that we would be grounded in his kingdom and seeking realities that will never fade. We pray this all in his name. Amen.